إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد, we continue with our discussion of Adhan, and we said that the correct way to say Adhan is Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Say them together, and then Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Say them together again, two pairs, one pair, and then another pair, and then Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah, hayya ala falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. So this is how you pair it, but of course with extending the voice so that it can reach as far as possible. And we will discuss what the muezzin, what is recommended for the muezzin to do in a little bit, inshaAllah. We said that it is recommended to sometimes do tarjiyah, which you find it in madhab Imam Malik, but it is an authentic sunnah to say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and then with a low voice you say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Then you echo it loud, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. So you echo it loud after you say it in low voice. This has been recorded from Abu Mahzura radiallahu anhu. Okay, now, and we said that the most correct opinion of saying As-salatu khayru min al-nawm is to say it in the first adhan of Fajr and not in the second adhan, which means the adhan that comes before, that's given before the correct beginning of the time of Fajr, at the time of the untruthful Fajr, in order to wake up people so that they get up and eat suhoor if they want to fast or get ready for the prayer. And as for the time to give adhan, it is recommended to give it in the beginning of time, in the very beginning of time. As Jabir bin Samurah radiallahu anhu reported, كَانَ بِلَالُ يُؤَذِّنُ إِذَا زَالَتِ الشَّمْسِ لَا يَخْرُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يُقِيمُ حَتَّى يَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِ النَّبِيِّ فَإِذَا خَرَجَ أَقَامَ حِينَ يَرَى. Which means that Bilal used to give adhan when the sun declines, that is from the zenith at noon, and without dropping any of the terms of the adhan. And then he would not give iqama until Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes out. When he comes out and he sees him, then he gives the iqama. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Bilala yu'adhdhinu bilayl, fakulu washrabu hatta yu'adhdhin ibn ummi maktum." And in another report he said, "La yamna'anna ahadakum adhan Bilal min sahuri, fa innahu yu'adhdhin bilayl, liyarja'a qa'imukum aw liyarja'a qa'imakum wa liyunabbiha na'imakum." Which means, as I said yesterday, that for the Fajr Adhan, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had two men do it. The first Adhan was given by Bilal, the first one. And that was before the truthful Fajr. And then Ibn Umm Maktum gave the second Adhan, which was at the correct time of Fajr. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, let not the adhan of Bilal stop you from eating suhoor. Because he gives adhan when it is still at night time. So that the one who is standing in prayer at night will stop and get ready for Fajr. And the one who is sleeping would wake up. So that's the purpose of the adhan of Bilal. So eat and drink until Ibn Umm Maktum gives the adhan. Until Ibn Umm Maktum, Amr bin Umm Maktum gives the adhan. Amr bin Umm Maktum was a blind man. And as some reports say, that the difference between the two adhans was as much as it would take for Bilal to come down and for Ibn Umm Maktum to go up to the roof where they used to give the adhan and give the adhan there. And being a blind man, you know, it will take him some time to get there and give the adhan. And in some reports it says that Ibn Umm Maktum would not give the adhan until people tell him asbahta asbahta, which means the morning is here, the morning is here, the dawn is there, is clear now, so give the adhan, and then he will give the adhan, because he's blind, he cannot see the light. So he would wait for the people to give him the sign or the information. What you say when you hear the adhan and the iqamah? As we said yesterday, we read the hadith of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, in which he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if when the muezzin says Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, you say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, he says Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar again, you say it again, he says Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, you say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, like him, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, Hayya ala salah, when he makes the call for salah, you say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, there is no power or might except with Allah or from Allah. And when he says Hayya ala al-falah, you say the same. Yeah, he says it twice and you say it twice. And then he says Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, you say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And then La ilaha illallah, you say La ilaha illallah. So whoever say that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, min qalbi, from his heart, that is with concentration, with understanding, with sincerity, dakhala al-jannah, he will enter Jannah. This hadith is recorded in Bukhari, and let me see, this is which one? This is this one. It's recorded in Muslim and Abu Dawud. Another hadith recorded by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا سَمَعْتُمْ النِّدَاءُ فَقُولُوا مِثْلَ مَا يَقُولُ الْمُؤَذِّنُ. When you hear the adhan, the nida, the call, then say as the muadhin says, as the announcer says. And this is general, of course. The other hadith is more specific, which means you say everything as the muadhin, except in one place or two places where you say differently. He says Hayya ala salah or Hayya ala falah, you say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, you do not say like he says. So whoever the opinion of this author of this book, he says the one who says like the muadhin, even Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala falah, then this is permissible. Or if he says them and then add to them La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, this is permissible. And Allahu A'lam, other scholars like Shaykh Albani rahimahullah, his opinion is that this is what you say only, that what is described in the hadith of Umar, and then the hadith of Abu Sa'id is general, the hadith of Umar make it more specific and descriptive. After the muezzin finishes the adhan or the iqama, and the okay, now here this author, and this is also the opinion of Sheikh Albani, even though many scholars do not agree, is that when you hear the iqama, you say the same thing. When you hear the iqama, you say the same thing. He says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala falah. So you say after him in your heart, of course, within yourself. So others say this means only the adhan but not the iqama. And those who say you say it even in the case of iqama, they say because iqama is also a form of nida or adhan, and therefore you say it as well. So if you have the time to say it, then go ahead and say it. Otherwise, if the Khama is given so fast that you can hardly catch up with them, then that's okay. So after finishing the adhan or the iqamah, the one who hears, the one who is giving them, if he says after what he should say, or he should try to say after that, the following, as is reported in the hadith of Abdullah bin Amr, that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمُ الْمُؤَذِّنِ فَقُولُوا مِثْلَ مَا يَقُولُ ثُمَّ صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ صَلَّ عَلَيَّ صَلَاةً صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ بِهَا عَشْرًا ثُمَّ سَلُوا لِيَ الْوَسِيلَةِ فَإِنَّهَا مَنْزِلَةٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ لَا تَنْبَغِي إِلَّا لِعَبْدٍ مِنْ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ وَأَرْجُو أَنْ أَكُونَ أَنَا هُوَ فَمَنْ سَأَلَ اللَّهَ لِيَ الْوَسِيلَةِ حَلَّتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّفَاعَةِ أو حَلَّتْ لَهُ شَفَاعَتِي. This is in Muslim, Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, which means that when you hear the Mu'adhin, say like he says. Then, this hadith is by Abdullah bin Amr. Then say Salah upon me, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. And the best way to say it is like we say it in the prayer, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, wa barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. فَعَيْمِنَ أَنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ, or one of the other variations of this. So, after you say it, then you ask Allah to grant Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم wasila. And this is given in more detail, or more clearly, in another hadith reported by Jabir رضي الله عنه, and recorded by Al-Bukhari and Abu Dawood and others. In that hadith, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever says, after he hears the adhan, Allahumma rabba hadhihi ad-da'wati at-tamma was-salati al-qa'ima, ati Muhammadan al-wasilata wal-fadila, wab'athhu maqaman mahmudan alladhi wa'adta, hallat lahu shafa'ati yawm al-qiyamah. Which means, whoever says the meaning of the dua, O Allah, the Lord of this complete call and the established prayer, the Lord of the established prayer, grant Muhammad al-wasila, the means, and al-fadila, the virtue. And wasila is, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the other hadith that we just read, that wasila is a position in Jannah. The means, what is the means? It is a position, a level in Jannah, that only one person will be given it. And he says, I hope that I will be that one. So whoever asks Allah to grant me al-wasila, my shafa'ah, my intercession he will be worthy of my intercession on the Day of Judgment, that is. So here he says, what you say is this dua, O Allah, the Lord of the complete call and the established prayer, grant Muhammad al-wasila, the wasila, and the fadila, and the virtue, and wab'athhu maqaman mahmuda, and give him or grant him the praiseworthy level or degree that you have promised him. Whoever says that, حَلَّتْ لَهُ شَفَاعَةِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, my shafa'ah, my intercession will be permissible or granted to him on the Day of Resurrection. Now some people add to this, and you will hear them sometimes say, اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة آتي سيدنا محمد الوسيلة والفضيلة والدرجة الرفيعة. There is no درجة الرفيعة in the dua. They add to it, وَبَعْثُهُ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا الَّذِي وَعَدْتَهُ, and then they say, إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِعَادِ. Also, there is no إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِعَادِ in this dua, as is taught to us by the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So one should restrict himself to what has been reported in the Sunnah. So the dua is, اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة آتي محمدًا الوسيلة والفضيلة وَبَعْثُهُ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا الَّذِي وَعَدْتَهُ. And you hopefully, probably you can find these, the text of these, in like the Pillars of Islam and Iman or some other simple book, or the books of supplications, as I said.
The ones that you said are not intended to add to it. I was reading it.
No, that's not part of the dua. That's what he says. He says, whoever says that, then he will have the right for my intercession. He will get my intercession on the Day of Resurrection. But you do not say it as part of the supplication. People sometimes add to the supplication itself. So as I said, instead of saying al-wasilata wal-fadilata, they say al-wasilata wal-fadilata wal-darajata al-rafi'ah. So they add to it a word which is not in the hadith. Al-darajata al-rafi'ah, the high degree. So why add to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us? Or what you promise, because you do not break your promise. Innaka la tukhlif al mi'ad. We know Allah doesn't break His promise, but this is not what the Prophet ﷺ taught us. Therefore, from these ahadith, it is clear that the best thing is to say, as when you hear adhan, you say what the muazzin is saying. So you respond to his call by saying the things again to yourself. And then when he gets to Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala falah, you say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And then after he finishes, you say Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma rabba hadhihi ad-da'wati at-tammah was-salati al-qa'imah آت محمدا الوسيلة والفضيلة وبعثه مقاما محمودا الذي وعدته. And then there are some other supplications that you say when you hear the adhan. Now I'm not sure, is it authentic to say رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا محمد رسول؟ No. بعد الأذان, it is reported after adhan, but it is weak. والله أعلم. So after wudu, you say that's authentic. We came over it. Raditu billahi rabba wa bi-islam deena Muhammadin nabiyya. Okay, it is recommended between adhan and iqama to make as much dua as you can. Like now, the adhan has been given for Isha, but the iqama has not been given. So if one has the chance to make supplications, let him make as much as he can. Because as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in what Anas reported from him, الدعاء لا يرد بين الأذان والإقامة. الدعاء لا يرد بين الأذان والإقامة. This is authentic, which means that the dua is not is never rejected when it is between the Adhan and the Iqama. Between the Adhan and the Iqama. And there is another hadith which says ثنتان لا تردان. There are two situations where dua is not rejected. ثنتان لا تردان. الدعاء بين النداء والإقامة. The دعاء between نداء, between أذان and إقامة. وحين البأس حين يلحم بعضهم بعضا. And at the time of fighting, when the armies are intertwined, when they are, you know, fighting directly with each other. So at that time, when one makes a دعاء, it is accepted. And also between the adhan and the iqama. So one should not waste this time and should make sure to make as much dua as possible. Okay, what is recommended for the muezzin to do? It is recommended, first of all, that what the one he sincerely for Allah Azza wa Jal as a ibadah, as an act of worship that he is presenting before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore he should not take any money or pay for it. Umar ibn Abi al-As reported that he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اجعلني إمام قومي. He said, make me the imam of my people. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أنت إمامهم. You are their imam. واقتدي بأضعفهم. The weakest among them. What does it mean? The weakest, follow the weakest among them. Alaykum as-salam. What does it mean? Follow the weakest of them. The idea, just try to throw something. And
people don't have to say.
What does it mean? Follow them.
All people, children, and stuff.
Follow them mean pray to their ability. You know, make your prayer possible for them to follow the prayer length and duration of such length that it is possible for them to follow. That's what it means. It doesn't mean اقتدي بأضعافهم, that you make them your imam and you are the imam and then other people behind you. It means that make your prayer possible for them to pray with you, the weakest. So see who is the weakest. You have old people, very old people, very weak, who want to pray jama'ah with you. Then make your prayer short enough for them to be able to join with you. If they are all young and strong and they want a long prayer, then you can make it longer. أنت إمامهم, you are their imam. واقتدي بأضعافهم, and follow the weakest of them. واتخذ مؤذنا لا يأخذ على أذانه أجرا, and have or appoint a مؤذن, a person to give adhan, who does not take a pay for his adhan, who does not take a pay for his adhan. So that's one thing, that it's not permissible at all to take pay for the adhan or for any worship in that case, you know, for that matter. So it is reported that once a man said to Ibn Umar, I love you for the sake of Allah. And the man, Ibn Umar, told him, but I hate you for the sake of Allah. And he said, how come I love you for the sake of Allah and you say you hate me for the sake of Allah? He said, because you sing your adhan and you take pay for it. You are paid for it. Two things that are not permissible for the adhan. So one is not allowed to be paid for his adhan. So, but the question is, what if a person is appointed to be the muadhin of a masjid like they do in our countries? He is the one who is appointed for the adhan. Then why? How can he live if he doesn't get paid? And the answer is, he is not paid for giving the adhan, because the adhan is a ibadah. It's like somebody giving me money because I prayed or because I fasted. There's no way you can pay somebody for performing ibadah. But he is given, he is paid for his time, that for his tafarruh, which means for the time that what you say tafarruh in English, like somebody is working full time and other things. No, there's a word for it.
Very good example is doing a maintenance work, some kind of, for the masjid, and he's out here and he's giving his adhan, so we pay him for the maintenance.
Yeah, that's what's usually the case. I mean, the muadhin is usually does maintenance, take care of the sound of in the Muslim countries, make sure that everything in the masjid is run properly, and so on, and then he gives adhan. So, or even if he only gives adhan, but he is told, stay in the masjid, watch it, and give adhan at its time, and this is your pay. He should understand, people should understand, that the pay is not for giving the adhan. He's giving the adhan as part of the whole thing, but the pay is not for the adhan. The pay is for the tafarruh, for being not able to work anywhere else, because he is putting a lot of his time in this place. Similarly for the imam. The imam is not paid to lead people in the prayer, and it is wrong to pay him for that, or for him to think that he is being paid for that. Okay, because praying is ibadah, and you cannot pay somebody for ibadah. But you pay him for tafarruh, for the time that he is giving, that otherwise he would have been spending it, you know, working in other things. Compensation for his time, right? Similarly, if a person teaches Quran, you cannot pay him for teaching Quran, but for the time that he is spending in teaching Quran, and so on. So it's time compensation. Another thing recommended for the muezzin is that he should be tahir. He should be tahir. He should have wudu. He should not have janaba, and he should not need to perform wudu. He should have wudu. Why is that? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inni karihtu an adhkur Allah wa ana ala ghairi tuhr," as we have read a while ago, this hadith, that I hated to mention Allah while I am not tahir. So adhan is all mention of Allah. So even though it is, if a person without wudu gives adhan, the adhan is correct and it is acceptable, inshaAllah. But it is not the best way to do it. It is recommended to have wudu when you give the adhan. And also it is recommended to face the Qibla when you give Adhan. It's recommended to face the Qibla. Ibn al-Munzir said, الإجماع على أن القيام في الأذان من السنة لأنه أبلغ في السماع وأن من السنة أن يستقبل القبلة بالأذان ذلك أن مؤذني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كانوا يؤذنون مستقبلي القبلة. Which means that it is recommended to stand and face the Qibla because this was the way that the Mu'adhineen, those who gave Adhan at the time of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, used to do it. Stand and face the Qibla. And then it is recommended to turn his face to the right, his face or his head and neck to the right when he says Hayya ala salah, and to the left when he says Hayya ala al-Falah. Just the neck, not the whole body. Sometimes people turn their whole body like this. Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala al-Falah, al-Falah. This is wrong. What is recommended is what is in the sunnah, recorded in the sunnah, to turn the neck like when you make salam in the prayer. Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala al-Falah, Hayya ala al-Falah. So he turns his head and neck to the right when he says Hayya ala salah, and to the left when he says Hayya ala al-Falah. Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala al-Falah, Hayya ala al-Falah. Abu Juhayfa said that he saw Bilal giving adhan and he saw him turning his face or his mouth this way and this way as described. And the fifth thing is, it is recommended to put his fingers in his ears, because that is how Bilal did when he gave the adhan. So he put his fingers in his ears while he was giving the adhan, and this also would enable him to raise his voice much louder while he is giving the adhan. And then finally, it is recommended to raise the voice with the adhan, because of the hadith that we said before, that no jinn or human being hear the muadhan, but they will be witnesses for him on the day of judgment. Okay, so these are some of the recommendations for adhan. There's just a little bit more, inshallah, that we'll cover tomorrow about the regulations of adhan. And then we will show a sample adhan, or teach how to give the adhan, because many people give it in the wrong way. So we stop here. هذا وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. إلا نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه. أما بعد, with adhan, maybe also show a sample or a model adhan. I will quickly review things that we have covered earlier, but not now, as we go inshallah. But first, I try to cover the rest of the chapter on adhan. How long be the time between adhan and iqama? كم بين الأذان والإقامة؟ ينبغي الفصل بين الأذان والإقامة بوقت يتسع للتأهب للصلاة وحضورها, لأن الأذان إنما شرع لهذا وإلا ضاعت الفائدة منه. Which means there should be enough time between qama for people to get ready for the prayer, to perform wudu, and to come and pray. Because that's the purpose of adhan, to announce to the people that it is time for prayer so that they come and join it. Otherwise, the benefit will be lost. And Ibn Battal, one of the scholars of the Salaf, he was probably of the Shafi'is, Allahu A'lam, but I'm not sure. He's referenced by Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar in Fath al-Bari. He says, لا حد لذلك غير تمكن دخول الوقت wajtima al musallin. There is no exact specification for that, other than that is the, that by that he means the iqama, other that the time has come in, the time for the prayer, and that the people who want to pray has gotten to, have gotten together. Now, of course, we have mentioned a few times that it's recommended for the Maghrib prayer to pray it in the very beginning of time, and that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed it when it barely disappeared under the horizon, and he recommended or ordered the people to pray it before the stars intertwine in the skies, which means before they become too visible, too many stars in the sky, which means there should be only very few stars, which means for Maghrib it should be prayed very early, very close to the beginning of time. And even though this is true about all prayers, but for Maghrib specifically, the beginning of time is in the very, very earliest part of the time. And but it appears that Rasulullah ﷺ used to leave some time before the Iqamah, between the Adhan and Iqamah, which was approximately, I would say, we don't know, but approximately 5 minutes. Because what has been reported from the Sahaba, that when somebody enters the masjid to pray Maghrib, he would see them praying, which means the sunnah that we discussed, that you pray between Adhan and Iqamah, or we haven't discussed, they were praying sunnah in such large numbers that somebody may think that the prayer is over, and they are praying the sunnah, that the regular sunnah that comes after Maghrib, because of the large number of people who were praying. So this shows that there was some time, and that it was not prayed, the Iqamah was not given right after the Adhan, but there was some time given, and that some time, at least enough to pray 2 rak'at of sunnah, the sunnah that you pray between Adhan and Iqamah. For other prayers like Dhuhr, Asr, Fajr, Isha, it is recommended to wait a little bit until the people, you know, who heard the Adhan get enough time to perform wudu and come to the masjid. And it is prohibited to leave the masjid once the Adhan is given. النهي عن الخروج من المسجد بعد الأذان. أبو الشعثاء said, كنا قعودا في المسجد مع أبي هريرة. He said, we were sitting in the masjid with Abu Huraira. فأذن المؤذن. And the muezzin gave the adhan. فقام رجل من المسجد يمشي. So one of the people in the masjid stood and started walking away. فأتبعه أبو هريرة بصره حتى خرج من المسجد. So Abu Huraira started looking him, following him with his eyes, until he saw him leave the masjid. فقال أبو هريرة أما هذا فقد عصى أبا القاسم صلى الله عليه وسلم. Which means, as for this person, he has indeed disobeyed Abu Qasim, which means Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Why? Because he left after the adhan has been given. So once the adhan is given, then one should remain in the masjid until the prayer is performed. Unless, of course, he has a legitimate excuse, like, for instance, you know, he has an emergency, he has to go for some reason, or I have seen people, you know, even this, you know, it is questionable, but some people leave from one masjid, they want to go to another masjid where they have agreed to meet with the imam or with somebody, some mashayikh there, so they go, and they still will be praying jama'ah in the other masjid. But the act itself is not acceptable, because it appears as if the person, instead of running when he hears the adhan, running to the prayer, he is running away from it. So it doesn't give a good appearance in the eyes of people, and some people may have something in their hearts. Look at this hypocrite, he is leaving when the adhan is given, or something like that. So that there is no room is left in the hearts of people for such thing. That was the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was reported to us by Abu Huraira in this way. Which means he did not give the exact words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All what he said is that this person who left the masjid after the adhan has indeed disobeyed Abu Qasim. Okay, now, what if a person missed a prayer? Is it permissible for him to give adhan and iqamah? We said that whoever sleeps through the time of a prayer, And we said that this sleeping knew that he did not intentionally or purposely try for, intended, but it happened beyond his will. Or forgets, he thinks that he prayed but he did not pray and then he remembers later. Then the Prophet ﷺ says, فَلْيُصَلِّهَا إِذَا ذَكَرَهَا. Let him pray it when he remembers it. So in this case, it is recommended for him to give adhan and iqama. Because, and there's another report, reason for it, inshallah I'll bring another evidence. Because of what was recorded by Abu Dawood in the story of when, or in the narration, في قصة نوم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه عن صلاة الفجر في السفر. In the narration, when Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companions slept through the Fajr prayer. They missed Fajr prayer because of sleep in one of their travels. وأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمر بلالا فأذن وأقام. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded Bilal to give adhan and give iqama. And then they prayed. Which means that even if one is praying it beyond its time, because of a good, permissible or acceptable excuse, then he still gives the adhan and iqama. And if many prayers have been missed, again for a legitimate excuse, and we mentioned the situation where some people think that they can compile the prayers together in the evening. So they work all day and they come home at night and they pray four or five prayers together. This is not acceptable. It's not acceptable because it disagrees with the command and with the teaching of Rasulullah ﷺ, who says, لا كفارة لها سوى ذلك. Once a person misses a prayer, he must pay it immediately, otherwise there is no other expiation for it. He cannot make it up in any other way. So those who pile up the prayers without excuse, it is not acceptable for them to do that. But if there is an excuse, فإن تعددت الفوائد الفوائد أذن أذانا واحدا وأقام لكل صلاة. Then he would give one adhan and then he gives iqama for every prayer by prayer. Because of the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, that's the only case that we have it recorded in the Sunnah. The hadith of Ibn Mas'ud was in the battle of Al-Khandaq with the disbelievers, and he said, إن المشركين شغلوا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن أربع صلوات يوم الخندق. The disbelievers شغلوا, which means made Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم occupied so that he could not pray four prayers during the day of Al-Khandaq. And Al-Khandaq, we know, it was not one day, because they dug the Al-Khandaq and then the armies came and camped, the enemies came and camped on one side and the Muslims were on the other side and so on. But there was one particular day where there was the fighting, and some of the fighters from one side would come and attack or challenge fighters from the other side, and one of them would be killed and so on. So that was the day of Al-Khandaq when the fighting did take place. So and it seems that this was before Salat al-Khawf was ordained. Because when Salat al-Khawf was ordained, then they did not have, the Muslims did not have to miss prayers before because of fighting. Because then half of the army can pray and the other half can protect, and then vice versa. And the prayer is shortened to only one rak'ah in Khawf, the prayer of Khawf. So it is the shortest prayer. So it's not hard to pray it, and it does not take too much time, but it's prayed on its time. So it seems that this was before the prayer of Khawf was ordained. So he says, إِنَّ الْمُشْرِكِينَ شَغَلُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنْ أَرْبَعِ صَلَوَاتٍ يَوْمَ الْخَنْدَقِ حَتَّى ذَهَبَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ. Until a part of the night, as much as Allah willed, had passed. فَأَمَرَ بِلَالًا فَأَذَّن. So he commanded Bilal to give adhan. ثُمَّ أَقَام. Then he performed, he gave the iqama. فَصَلَّ الظُّهْرِ. And he prayed Dhuhr. ثُمَّ أَقَامَ فَصَلَّ الْعَصْرِ. Then he gave iqama and prayed Asr. ثُمَّ أَقَامَ فَصَلَّ الْمَغْرِبِ. ثُمَّ أَقَامَ فَصَلَّ الْإِشَاءِ. Then he gave iqama and prayed Maghrib. Then he gave iqama and prayed Isha. So he prayed the four prayers one after the other. And this is the most that Rasulullah ﷺ ever prayed together, because of a very particular situation, and that is before the prayer of fear was ordained as in Surah Nisa. This hadith is authentic and it is recorded by At-Tirmidhi and Nasa'i. And on that occasion, I think we read the hadith earlier in which Rasulullah ﷺ was very upset because of that, and he said, "They made us busy so that we missed the Asr prayer. May Allah fill their houses with fire." So he cursed them because they caused him to miss the Asr prayer until the sunset. Okay, so I said that I will mention something else about the Adhan and Iqamah for other than the person who is praying the Jama'ah with the Jama'ah of the Masjid. Now there is Adhan which is given in the Masjid. That's supposed to be given at the beginning of time so that people know that the time has come in for the prayer and start getting ready for it. And this has two purposes. This serves two purposes. One of them is announcement, and that is the name Adhan. Adhan means announcement. And the second is dhikr. Dhikr, because the announcer is making dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and those who hear him also make dhikr. They respond to him with certain dhikr. They remember Allah mentioned things in remembrance to Allah subhanahu of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what if a person comes and prays by himself? Let's say after the jama'ah has been given, 1 hour later or half an hour later, somebody came and wanted to pray the same prayer. So does he just say Allahu Akbar and start praying, or give Adhan and Iqamah? It is recommended for this person to give Adhan as well as Iqamah. And most of the scholars agree about the Iqamah, that he should give Iqamah. As for Adhan, some of them say it is recommended, some of them say it is not required or something like that. Allahu A'lam. But there is an authentic hadith, hadith al-Musi' Salati. A person who did not pray properly and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam corrected him. He came to the masjid, and while Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in a corner and watching him, so he came and said and prayed. And then he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, "Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah." He said, "Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "Wa alayka as-salam," and salam be to you. "Irja fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli." Go back and pray because you did not pray. So what can he do? I mean, he told him he did not pray even though he just finished praying. So he went back and prayed same way. And then he came back and he said, "Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah," salam be to you, Allah's Messenger. He said, "Wa alayka as-salam, irja fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli." Same thing. He repeated it 3 times. It happened 3 times. Every time he comes to him and he says, "Go back and pray, you have not prayed." So finally he said, "O Allah's Messenger, by Allah, I do not know to pray except this way. So teach me." So he told him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this hadith is known as Hadith al-Musi' Salati, the hadith of the one who did not perform his prayer properly. It is a very well known hadith in the books of fiqh. As I said, in some of its narrations do not have all the details, but some authentic narrations say that he told him, first, when you want to go for prayer, you perform a complete wudu, as we mentioned earlier. I think we mentioned part of this hadith earlier. And then you come and stand and face the Qibla. Then you give Adhan. In some of the reports it mentions Adhan, and other reports do not mention Adhan, but the mention of Adhan is authentic. He told him, then you give the Adhan. Then you give Iqamah. Then you pray. You say Allahu Akbar. And then read. And then make ruku until every limb of your body takes its position. And then stand up until every limb of your body takes its position. And then make sujood. And then so on. So he taught him the complete prayer in the proper way to perform it. So in this hadith, one part of it is that to give Adhan and then Iqamah. This shows that it's recommended for a person who prays by himself to give Adhan first and then give Iqamah, whether he prays at home or in the office or the shepherd in the desert, as we heard from a previous hadith, or he prays in the masjid even after the Adhan has been given. So it's recommended for him to give Adhan. But If he comes and gives adhan, he should not raise his voice with it, because that will confuse people. ما كان عم يصلي مزبوط عم يصلي بسرعة وعلي وقتي كذا فعلم الصلاة كلها فقال أذن ثم أقم ثم
يعني
يتعلموا
صحيح لأنه ما بالفعل
يعني بشوفه
ولكن من يستيزن أنا بفكر بالفترة صارت من عندهم كم تحبه
إن شاء الله إن شاء الله لا لا
نعم.
Says we have to teach the kids also that they should pray proper prayers.
Yes,
so they'll be accepted.
Prayer first,
yeah, that's true. So it's important to lower the voice in this adhan, because as we said, the adhan has two elements. One of them is announcement, and the other is dhikr. In the case of this person, he is not making announcement, because the announcement has already been made. So if he stands at the door or outside or on the roof and gives adhan, that will confuse people. They say, which prayer is this? We heard the adhan half an hour or 1 hour ago. But if he lowers his voice just for himself to hear, then that's good. So he gives a low adhan with low voice, then the iqama, then he starts the prayer. Come on. So this concludes the discussion of adhan, and as I said, inshallah, I will give a summary of what we mentioned in regard to adhan, and then probably give or show how a sample adhan would be. Okay, the summary of the adhan, I wish that more people are here, because there are often people who give adhan and they don't know how to give it. So it is good for them to learn. Oh, there is one thing that's not mentioned here, and in this book, because as we said, this book is meant to be brief in this discussion. One thing not mentioned here is that when Abdullah bin Zayd, when he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him about his dream of the adhan that he saw, and he said, yes, teach it to Bilal. In some of the reports, it says, let Bilal, teach it to Bilal, let him give adhan, because he has a better voice than you. He has a stronger voice than you. So this shows that it is recommended for the one who gives adhan to have a strong voice that reaches far, and a nice voice. A nice voice. And we see that this is mostly not fulfilled. Usually I try not to give the adhan because I know my voice is not all that good. But sometimes I give it just to make people hear how the adhan should be given, and not because my voice is the best voice in the world. It may be, I mean, but I'm trying to be modest, you know. Okay, so it is recommended, for the one who gives adhan to have a strong, beautiful voice that can reach very far. That's important. Now, we said also it is recommended for the one who gives adhan to do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not to get any reward, monetary reward or material reward out of it. And he should not sing in his adhan. We mentioned this before, which means he should not say Allahu Akbar. You know, by saying it like this, he's singing, and it's prohibited to sing in the adhan. Even though we see that most of the muezzinin, like those that you hear on tapes, they sing in the adhan. But this is prohibited in the sunnah. The adhan should be plain of singing. So it should be with strong, clear, loud words. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, something like this. And then the muezzin should be tahir from the two hadathain, which means he should not be junub, and she should have wudu. This is not obligatory, it is recommended, because adhan is a mention of Allah's name and Allah's praise. So it should be with wudu. It is better to be in wudu. And then he should face the Qibla, as we said. This has been the practice from the time of the Prophet ﷺ on, that one who gives adhan gives it while he's facing the Qibla. And then when he says Hayya ala salah, he turns his face to the right. Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala salah, like in tashahud. Only the face, not the whole shoulder or chest, only the face. Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala al-falah, Hayya ala al-falah. Only in adhan, not in iqama. In iqama, you do not turn your face. Okay? And then to put his fingers in his ears. To put his fingers in his ears, that was the way that Bilal radiallahu anhu used to give the adhan. So put the fingers in the ears, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. As I said, this is only for adhan, not for iqama. And then, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala salah, turn with the head, Hayya ala al-falah, Hayya ala al-falah, turn the head to the right and left. And he should raise his voice because of what we said, that there is a purpose of the adhan. It is to announce the beginning of time or the time of prayer to the people. So there is no meaning of saying the adhan to himself. It should, and that is why the muezzin used to stand on the roof of the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that, because there was no minaret, so that his voice would reach as far as possible. And he would raise his voice, put his hands, fingers in his ears, so that the voice would reach even further. Is it permissible to have minaret? If there is a purpose for it, which means it has to be climbed, the higher you climb, the further the voice reaches. So if there is such a purpose for it, then it is permissible. But if it is for design, then it's not permissible, because it is an expense that has no meaning. And that's what we find that people do now in our times, because they do not use the minaret for the muezzin to go up and give adhan. They give it as a sign of the masjid and a sign of decoration. So it is haram, because sometimes the minaret costs as much as the cost of the whole masjid. So if you build a masjid like this masjid was built, let's say for $500,000, you need another $500,000 to make a minaret and a dome, and they think that this is a required part of the masjid, when it is not. Okay, so these are what is recommended for the muezzin to say, to do, and as we said, that the best way is to give the adhan in pairs, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and then many of our scholars recommend that the adhan should be done with tajweed, like you say the Quran, with the with the manner you make tajweed of Quran. So, which means, you know, observe the rules of tajweed. So, and therefore the mad should be made at the places where it is permissible to make mad, which means extending the voice should be done at the proper times and not at the times of the choice of the muezzin. So Allah is a word which has a mad in it, in the middle of it. So one may extend it. But Akbar does not have a mad in it. So one should not extend it too much. So one cannot say Allahu Akbar. This is, you know, a confused way of giving adhan. The longest mad in the adhan is where you say La ilaha, because La ilaha has a long mad in it. So that's where you can extend your voice to the most. Otherwise, there is not as much extension of voice. So basically, the adhan is, you know, as we said. Now I'm turning my back to the Qibla, but the sunnah is to face the Qibla and stand, put the fingers in the ears, and say Allah, Allah. You can extend it. As I said, it has some extension in it, or some mad in it. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And as we said, you join the first two, Allahu Akbar, together. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا. Now here you can extend it as much as you want. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. Here you can extend it, because the sukun at the end of the word can be extended also as much as you want. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. By giving adhan while sitting today. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. Same thing, you can extend it. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. And then as we said, حي على الصلاة, you turn your head to the right. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. Similarly to the left. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. And then the last two takbirat. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. And that's it. Okay, so these are some of the, an overview of the adhan and regulations. We covered it in about an hour and a half, so anybody who just heard 5 or less minutes or more minutes, he can hear the whole thing on tape, inshaAllah. Naam, ya akhi.
I hear sometimes I visit the masjid, they do the adhan inside the masjid.
Yeah, they do the adhan inside the masjid, and this is not the sunnah. This is not the sunnah, because as you know, as we said, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to give the adhan outside the masjid, actually on the on top of the masjid. And when you give it inside, it disturbs the people who are praying. Because somebody wants to pray, wants to do...